Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church on this October 22nd, 2017. I'm happy you're all here this morning, and I'm also happy, should you be listening online, to this gathered community of brothers and sisters living together in Christ. As a reminder, especially to those of us here, our website is prairiestreetmc.org, should you want to go back and listen to prior sermons and or the first part of service. One of the things we record is our singing time together. Let's begin with O Worship the Lord. That's hymn number 66, and please stand. For the past several weeks, I've myself been processing what brings me to church, knowing that I get up in front of here, something I don't normally do. Part of what brings me to church, I find, is the connections that I make beyond the people and my family, people in different stages of life, a place where I can gain some wisdom for those who are older and have been through it before, or helping tutor those who maybe have not experienced it before. We all have some great stories to tell, gifts we can share, and I encourage us to all use them. For example, right now, let's use the gift of prayer together. Lord, we continue to strive to your path from all places in our lives, with children, without, with partners, without, with stable jobs, without, baptized or not. We are all living unique but similar lives to be our best selves possible in your sight. Help us come together, building on each other's strengths and overcoming all of our weaknesses. We do this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we should join together and sing again. I will call upon the Lord. From the Green Sing the Journey. What's that? Number 19, and we're doing it two times through. Okay.
Okay.
next song in the Blue Hymnal, number 562.
We'll sing it in English first. The words are not in the book. The words are, "Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. God alone is enough." In English, and then we'll sing it in the Spanish and back and forth.
You know, of all the people in the Bible, I feel the greatest resonance with Moses. After all, he talked to a burning bush, a disembodied voice, something that I do every day. Sometimes I listen to the people talking to me, sometimes I talk to others who might be listening. Most of the time, it's really a one-way conversation, and part of that is what I find so amazing if you step back and talk about it. Now, I know it's a different part of Moses' story and his journey that we'll hear about today, but the visualization is to me very good. The only other place I could think of where you might talk to a burning bush might be at some special ride in Disneyland, right? That would be today. But imagine then what that is that we take so much for granted today, right? The power of radio, the power of a voice to come in and talk to you from somewhere. That's happening a little bit more even in a new evolution, in that we, you know, as we get Wi-Fi and the new toys, if you will, right, where just out of the blue. So that was, I asked ahead of time to play Handel's Messiah. But you could just as easily be talking and say, Alexa, tell me a joke.
What did the cat on the smartphone say? Can you hear me out?
Huh? Yeah, we're getting there. Granted, it's still a computer and it has a ways to go. But it is something that's amazing. I do that each and every day. And one reason it can be so powerful is, like Moses, I'm not really sure I'm going to get to the promised land either. But you know what? It's more about the journey. We have a challenge that we all face, and we all work through it, and it's great that we all come together and comfort each other in our times of need. Why don't we confess together? In the blue hymnal, can you turn to 696? Let's do that together. 696. We there? In 3, 2, 1. God of love and justice, we long for peace within and peace without. We long for harmony in our families, for serenity in the midst of struggle, and for commitment to each other's growth. We long for the day when our homes will be a dwelling place for your love. Yet we confess that we are often anxious. We do not trust each other, and we harbor violence. We are not willing to take the risks and make the sacrifices that love requires. Look upon us with kindness and grace. Rule in our homes and in all the world. Show us how to walk in your paths through the mercy of our Savior. Amen. Now that Christ has us on a path, let us greet each other in Christian love by walking to our brothers and sisters and saying, may the peace of Christ be with you, and they respond, also with you. Can the children come forward now, please? Thank you.
Welcome. Our offering today is for the La Casa Grande in Benin. You may touch the basket. If you have something to add, add it. Otherwise, it's your blessing that comes. Thank you. God loves you. God cares for you. God is with you in every circumstance of your life. There's a verse that we will hear our Pastor Nelson preach on this morning, and it's from Exodus, the conversation of God and Moses. This is the verse 22. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. In the cleft of the rock, there's a cleft. And this seabird surely looks like it's being cared for. It's safe in its home in the rock. Sometimes, we'll come to all of these pictures, sometimes it seems stormy and scary and dark, but we are assured that we are safe and our life can be sunny and bright and happy. Here, God is caring for these seabirds in the clefts of this cliff. This cliff is in England, in Cornwall. And you see spots of white. Those are seabirds. And there's more pictures of the sea and the rocks. Even these plants are growing amongst these stones, amongst the rocks. So that is a cleft for plant life, as it is for animal life. Here, seals are resting on their favorite spot on the beach, in the cleft of this rock. When we first saw these seals from way up, we thought they were rocks until they started to move. And then, of course, those are seals being cared for. These birds are feeding on the field. They're being cared for. And here we are walking along the English Channel with a walking group, and we see many fissures in the rock, that is, many divisions in the rock as we walk along the coastal path. And here is the group going single file. And in one place, Some years ago, we actually did walk through a rock that was a cleft. It was like a tunnel along the seabed. Here, somebody has built a stairway between the cleft and the rock. So we've been singing about, praying about the rock that God is for us and keeps us safe and gives us a path to follow. All of these ways. Welcome. So is a story that will go with us as we listen to the sermon, as we sing further songs. The imagery of God loving us, caring for us, and taking us in the direction that God wants us to go, because God assures us, promises his safety and purpose. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your love, for your care. May you go with these children and lead them in your path and lead all of us this day and all the days of our lives. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people."
Moisés le dijo entonces al Señor, "Mira, tú me has dicho, llévate aquí, de aquí a este pueblo, pero no me has dicho a quién vas a enviar conmigo. Lejos de eso, insistes, yo te conozco, sé quién eres, y te has ganado mi favor. Ahora bien, si en verdad me he ganado tu favor, te ruego que me hagas saber qué planes tienes. Así sabré si en verdad me he ganado tu favor. Toma en cuenta que esta gente es tu pueblo.
And he, the Lord, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he, Moses, said to him, if your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, and I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth.
Y el Señor le dijo, mi presencia irá contigo, y te haré descansar. Pero Moisés respondió, si tú no vas a venir conmigo, no nos saques de aquí. ¿Cómo vamos a saber tu pueblo y yo que en verdad me he ganado tu favor? Lo sabremos solo si vienes con nosotros y solo si tu pueblo y yo somos apartados de todos los pueblos que hay sobre la faz de la tierra.
And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said, show me your glory, I pray.
El Señor le dijo a Moisés, tan cierto es que te has ganado mi favor, que te conozco por nombre, que voy a hacer lo que me has pedido. Entonces Moisés dijo, te ruego que me muestras tu gloria.
And he, the Lord, said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live.
Y el Señor respondió, voy a hacer que todo mi bien pase delante de ti. Y delante de ti voy a proclamar mi nombre, que es el Señor, porque soy misericordioso con quien quiero ser misericordioso, y soy clemente con quien quiero ser clemente. El Señor dijo también, mi rostro no podrás verlo, porque nadie puede ver mi rostro y seguir viviendo.
And the Lord continued, see, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of that rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.
Y añadió, mira, aquí en la roca, junto a mí, hay un lugar. Quédate allí. Y cuando pase mi gloria, yo te pondré en una hendidura de la roca y te cubriré con mi mano mientras paso. Después de esto, apartaré mi mano y podrás ver mis espaldas, pero no mi rostro.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Today, I guess I'll use the mic. Today, our message comes from Pastor Nelson. Let's pray for him. May the words from Nelson's mouth and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen.
How do we live and how do we pray when God seems absent? Moses has a big task ahead of him to lead God's people through the desert up into the land of promise, which is occupied by giants. It feels overwhelming. Moses wants reassurance and asks God to reveal himself to Moses. And as the story continues, it becomes clear that Moses wants to see God's face. Recognizing a face is one of the earliest experiences we have of human intimacy in relationship. A newborn, as young as 4 days of age, is captivated by human faces, starts to follow them, and especially begins to respond to the face of its mother. To yearn to see God's face is to seek intimacy with the divine parent. But God says a kind of qualified no to Moses, at least for this face-to-face encounter. Instead, God tells Moses to hide in the crevice of a rock, or as we often translate it, the cleft of a rock. And God will place his hand over the crevice and then will pass by, and Moses will get a glimpse of God's back. Now, this is spectacular spiritual imagery. It's a poetic way of describing the spiritual reality we all at times experience when we have a challenge ahead of us, or when we endure suffering and we long for the presence of God, which doesn't always seem to be there. A week ago, I saw Ray, a Mennonite pastor in Canada, who now is recovering from an encounter with cancer. Ray and I have known each other for years, and we talked a while. And I asked Ray about the presence or absence of God in the period of illness that took him so close to death's door. Ray gave permission for me to share anything he said with you this morning. Moses needed God to go with him to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Ray needed God to go with him through the travail of chemotherapy. And as was true with Moses, Ray and God had been pretty close. Exodus 33:11, the beginning part of this chapter, says Moses and God talked face to face like a person talks to a friend. Now, that's hard for us to picture because God is spirit and doesn't have a face, a physical face like you and me. But if we've ever felt God's presence in a moment that we felt it so keenly that we talked to God like we might speak to a family member, that's what Moses was doing. God was a friend. And even after his cancer diagnosis, Ray said, every morning he would have a time of prayer and journaling and meditation on the scripture. And he was more aware of God's presence than ever before. God was there. That's what Moses experienced in the tabernacle. Pastor Ray just went into his study, and God spoke. Ray, as Exodus 33 describes it, would get a glimpse of God's glory. But then, increasingly, as Ray's chemotherapy continued, days that started out with the presence of God turned bleak and foreboding. Eventually, even the mornings became bleak. One day I was journaling and suddenly God was not there. it was not darkness so much as absence. All passion of relationship was gone. Pastor Ray slid into such exhaustion and despair, with his body and spirit worn down by illness and chemicals, that he ended up in the emergency room, curled up in the fetal position, weeping. Where was God? Psalm 88 describes that kind of circumstance. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You overwhelm me with all your waves. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Ray was so low that when a pastor friend asked to come and visit, Ray said no. He came anyway, Ray says now with a chuckle, and I'm awfully glad he did. Because that visit was a sign of God's care that Ray did not have the strength even to recognize at the time. And that, I've learned, is typical of these dark night experiences. Sometimes it's only after the fact, after we've been through the travail, that we see how God indeed was present. Moses was having second thoughts about leading the Hebrew nation up to Canaan. These are your people, not mine, God. It's your idea to take these people to Canaan, not mine. And you have not let me know who you will send with me as a divine helper. Am I really alone in this, God? Actually, God had promised, I will send an angel before you to prepare the way. It's so easy to forget God's promises when we're in crisis or afraid or alone. 16th century mystic Teresa of Avila, who wrote that hymn we sang this morning, Nada te turbe, nada te espante, let nothing trouble you. Teresa, who wrote that, and St. John of the Cross, her most well-known pupil. These two mystics, Teresa and John of the Cross, both experienced what has come to be called the dark night of the soul, when God seems absent. For those who have experienced a dark night, it's a passage of life when the spiritual practices or long-held beliefs we've had no longer seem adequate. We may have prayed and read the Bible and attended church for years, but suddenly God seems unknowable or not there. It's what Jesus, I believe, experienced on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This, for those who have known God, is paradoxically the cleft of the rock. This is the time when the God who cares for us is hidden. What Teresa de Avila says as a time when, quote, grace is buried so deeply that the soul seems not to feel the smallest spark of any love for God. It's just not there in our own souls. It's a time, she says, when no earthly consolations can bring us relief. Past joys in our relationship with God feel like a distant dream. Our soul fights back, but, quote, with all the weapons that it has to defend itself. But all the weapons we have to defend ourselves are in the hands of the enemy. This is the dark night of the soul that is painful and lonely. When some mighty hand seems to cover the opening above us, obscuring light, removing tangible evidence of divine presence. Pastor Ray wrote a short story, an allegory, about his chemotherapy. He describes it in this imaginary story as an excruciating foot journey alone across a rocky, ash-covered, burned-out, smoking mountain. He stumbles along, exhausted. The stench and the choking add to the journey's difficulty, he says. There's no turning back, only going forward or giving in to the death around. In his imagination, Ray can see way off to the side normal-looking people happily walking through a beautiful woods on a comfortable path. But he can't go there. He has to walk this path of misery and danger and suffering, dealing with forces that want to destroy him. Psalm 13 describes such a passage. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? For Ray, the enemy was illness and depression. He imagines Mother Earth and the Grim Reaper sitting at a table, gambling for his life over a card game. And then there are gargoyles of anxiety, fear, doubt, despair, discouragement, loneliness, anger, and lies that make his journey terrifying. They taunt him with, quote, hideous, bone-chilling, heart-crushing, spirit-deadening chants. Is this man in the pit? Teresa of Avila spent 20 years in interior darkness. At one point, she cried out to God, "If this be the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." For Pastor Ray, the words of Psalm 30, as rendered in the Message, became his prayer. "I lay my case before you, O God. Can you sell me for a profit when I'm dead? Auction me off at a cemetery yard sale? When I'm dust to dust, my songs and stories of you won't sell. So listen and be kind. Help me out of this." The dark night of the soul, as the mystics understood it, was not always a horrible experience. I'm describing here illness or depression, but that's not always the way people experience the dark night. It doesn't have to be a battle with cancer or a tragic life event. Sometimes it is simply a period when God feels silent or absent. However we encounter this void, mystics understood the dark night as an opportunity,
They describe it as an opportunity for a spiritual transformation that happens when we let go of all control, when we let go of all attempt to figure things out rationally and make sense of it with our heads, when we let go of all attempt to generate our own spiritual life, to pull up our spiritual bootstraps. It's a time when we come to completely rely on God. Pastor Ray said that moment came as he pored over Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The dark night brought Pastor Ray to a kind of second naivete, that innocence that we have as children, that we some point in our lives have to come back to. Having come through the agony of illness and treatment and absence, Ray today has a different experience of God, a different understanding of God. He told me that for the first time in my life, I can say to God with all my heart, I love you. I love you. Ray says, I now know a lot less about God, but this one thing I know for sure, God is love. God is good. He says, I'm more in relationship with God now than ever before. Ray, I believe, is like that weaned child with its mother, secure in the arms of a love that he does not even try to comprehend or explain. He accepts it. As an expression of that mystery, Ray now writes the name God as G-D, G-D. Much like Jewish people traditionally spell God's name with only the consonants. And Psalm 139 has become Ray's favorite. It's the familiar psalm. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Even when the psalmist does not feel God's presence, he knows that God is there, and that's enough. Ray knew Psalm 139 before his illness, but he says he almost always skipped over the angry parts of that psalm when he read it. Part that says, oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Do not I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and so on. Ray now says, I read those parts today. I understand that the destructive forces of evil that the psalmist is describing are my experiences of depression and death. That's what's trying to destroy me. And I do want God to destroy those forces. I'm angry at them, and I bring that prayer to God. Whatever happens now to Ray or to us, we can know that when we do not see, or maybe have not even yet accepted the way ahead, we are in the cleft of the rock. That might be a place of mystery. It might be a place even of seeming absence of God. But the gracious hand of God is there, covering us, keeping us from falling, preparing us for the next phase of the journey, protecting us from an overdose of divine glory. Amen.